Today is often called Good Shepherd Sunday due to the famous saying from Jesus we heard in that Gospel reading, "I am the Good Shepherd." Often images of sheep are used or talked about, and we're reminded that we are the sheep and Jesus is our shepherd. Having just been on holiday in the Western Isles, mine and Ian's heads are full of images of sheep. In most places we camped, there were sheep and Highland cattle, as much of the economy of that island is pastoral. For those of us living in towns and cities, however, we don't have much contact with sheep, and in a post-industrial society like ours, most people don't see or handle livestock, so the image loses some of its power. In Jesus' time, however, everyone saw sheep every day. They were a huge part of the economy. Jesus' hearers, however, would have made other links with his saying, "I am the Good Shepherd," than we do, and not ones we might immediately make today. This is because the Bible talks about the leaders of the people as shepherds. In the church, this may not seem surprising. After all, the term pastor, which simply means shepherd, is one that is used of ministers. Some churches even call their clergy pastors. Others see that the role of pastor is one that is appropriate to ministers. Even the Roman Catholic Church has one of its titles for the Pope as supreme pastor. This takes us back to Jesus saying in images of sheep, but the term shepherd, biblically, is about much more than that. The king was a shepherd, raised up by God at the people's insistence to lead and care for his people. The religious leaders were shepherds, whose role was to attend to the public worship of God, but by the time of Jesus, they also had a leadership role in liaising with the Roman occupying power. Even Herod was a shepherd of the people, one that was despised by the people, it must be said, as they saw him as a collaborator and adulterer. Given this identification of the leaders of the people with shepherds in the Bible, you can see the subversive power of our first reading from the book of Ezekiel, where the prophet is told to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. And then the devastating core of the passage, "Ah, you shepherds of Israel, you have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you've not healed the sick, you've not bound up the injured, you've not brought back the strayed, you've not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and scattered they became food for wild animals." Ezekiel would not have been popular with the elite after giving that message. The chapter continues with God saying that he himself will shepherd Israel. And that's the context for Jesus' words about being the good shepherd. He himself would lead the people. At the time, however, Jesus saying that he was the good shepherd was as odd as talking about good Samaritans. We might say that it is unlikely as Home Office policymakers being sensitive and compassionate, after all the furore this week with the attempted deportations of people who have been living, working and paying into the state since the early 70s, after having been invited to come here. Jesus is subtly critiquing the leaders of the people who, as in Ezekiel's day hundreds of years before, were not doing their job properly. And this critique would not have gone unnoticed by the authorities. In contemporary society, we don't use the image of the shepherd to describe the leaders raised over us. There are elements of it in the coronation service, But in reality, that is a legal fiction where the monarch may reign but doesn't rule. Whilst we may not see our political leaders as shepherds, we do expect them to show leadership, which is caring, compassionate, and works for the common good. We do expect them to use the biblical language to be good shepherds. They have to give an account for the power they use, the money they spend, and the state of society. Do they make a positive difference or not? Of course, we are governed by many more people than in Jesus' day. In Scotland, we have our local councillors, our members of the Scottish Parliament, and our MPs down at Westminster, each with intersecting levels of responsibility. Who gets the bins sorted or the potholes filled? We get on to the councillor, who would explain that Holyrood hasn't given them enough money. So you get on to the MSP, who explains that the money from Westminster isn't enough. And then you get on to the Treasury, and they say there isn't enough money. We've got to live within our means, or it's the other lot's fault. Meanwhile, the sheep are still stuck in potholes. More seriously, we do need to remind our leaders that their job is to care for people, to seek the best for all of society. Much of this type of leadership isn't contentious or party political. There is a consensus we should look after each other, that the weak and the most vulnerable need special care, that we don't want to pay for our health care at the point of delivery, that we need to look after our earth. We need to leave something better for the generations that come after us. What, I wonder, would Ezekiel make of our society where people sleep on the streets and even those in work need to use food banks? What, I wonder, would Jesus make about the leadership of the church? Down in London, the Independent Inquiry into Child Sex Abuse has been hearing horrific story after story about how the church has failed to protect its most vulnerable members. The Church of England had a pretty rough couple of weeks giving evidence, and I think we'll do again when the report is released. I think it will be brutal. The shepherds were devouring the sheep. So we're left trying to work out the differences. The Bible gives the worldly shepherds a hard time, and things don't seem much better. Yet Jesus tells us he is the good shepherd. You can see why that title would have raised an eyebrow. The key to reconciling these things is perhaps the opening verse. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Of course, with the Holy Week and Easter stories still ringing in our ears, this line has particular resonance. But maybe it's not a bad criteria to judge leadership. Of course, in the early church, they worried about this line. St. Augustine said that it wasn't necessary for clergy to lay down their lives so long as the sheep were protected. Clergy ever since have been very grateful. However, laying down our lives doesn't just mean being willing to die. It means living sacrificially. All of us follow the shepherd who lived sacrificially for us, but we also are called to live sacrificially for others. When have we laid aside our own agenda, preferences, choices, or material comfort in order to provide what someone else needed? When we did this, we were laying down our lives for the sheep. When did we realize that someone else helped us out, and in doing so, sacrificed their own material resources, time, convenience, and choices? That might have felt humbling as they laid down their lives for us. Imagine what difference it would make if there was more sacrificial living in the world. Imagine what esteem our leaders would be held in if they did that. Imagine what people would think of the church if we were truly seen as laying down our lives for the sheep. If the church could be held up as a place of life and safety. But of course, we are the church. At times we may feel we want to join in with Ezekiel's condemnation of the shepherds. We might feel we want to compare and contrast the leaders of our age with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But we too are shepherds, and we need to model the sacrificial living that we dream of in our society if we are to help it become whole. Will you pray with me? O Christ, our tender shepherd, you know how anxious we are and how easily we stray. Let us hear your voice above the clamour of all others, that we may learn who truly feeds us and find our way home to you, our loving Lord. Amen.